That's GoBerkey.com today.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we've got a fascinating episode today where we pit or we stage the battle royal or a couple of old men carping about one thing or another. I don't know. But we have Kevin Randall and Jim Moseley together, I think for the first time. Or at least for the first time in many years. And of course, they haven't agreed on lots of things, especially Roswell. And now Kevin Randall has this new book out called Reflections of a UFO Investigator. So we're going to see how that reflects. And by the way, he also talks about abductions there. So we'll ask him about that too. Now, on our show a couple of weeks back, we had Ruben Yorte and Noe Torres talking about this curious episode, the Cisco Grove UFO encounter involving a fellow who was a 20-something person at that time, Donald Shrum. And I was really fascinated listening to the case history, but also listening to what Donald Shrum remembered of it, you know, 50 years later. But more fascinating is it's something about the UFO mystery that always kind of incites my curiosity. And that is when you do see these aliens, they seem to be so low-tech. I mean, we have Donald Shrum in the forest. He's being chased by the UFO aliens, by a robot. He's in the tree trying to avoid being captured. And the most significant weapon they could bring to bear is poison gas? Knockout gas? What's going on here?
Yeah, really. Having a clue there, Gene. Good question.
Yeah, this is really interesting. You know, this is one of the things that I find myself concerned about is the fact that if we have alien visitors who are advanced enough to travel the stars to get here, is that the best they can do to capture somebody who has nothing more in his defense but bow and arrow?
No, the whole thing sounds kind of Paleolithic to me.
Kind of, but it's like the UFO knots are always one step ahead of us. You know, yeah. It's not 10,000 years ahead of us because they can travel through the stars. It's just enough to be more advanced than we are in terms of their technology. I would think if they wanted to capture Donald Shrum, it would have been the work of a few seconds. This is a cat and mouse game.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's bizarre. I mean, there's that absurdity factor, that tricksterish kind of quality that raises its head in some of these cases. It's a real head-scratcher, and I think that's kind of part of the allure of this whole subject matter is there's just something always that doesn't make sense about many of these encounters. And I think Shrum had a real encounter, but it was fabricated to appear to be nonsensical almost, with poison gas going up the tree. It's just bizarre, throwing coins at it. It's just something weird about this whole deal, Gene.
It's very weird. It's very strange. And I have to wonder what exactly all this is supposed to mean. I think there's a lot of psychological byplay going on here. And it may well be that the only thing real about this case in terms of a physical reality, I'm just, you know, shooting in the dark here. The only thing real was the sighting that Shrum and his two friends saw. They all saw a UFO. After that, all things being equal, it was some kind of hallucination. I cannot believe for one second that advanced alien beings would play a game with an Earthling for 12 hours straight and not just finish what they were trying to accomplish, especially if they knocked him out. He knocked him out, just climb up the tree and get him.
Yeah, we would never mentioned if he his butt hurt the next morning. I was kind of wondering, maybe if they had got him and put him back up in the tree, maybe they would have left some vestiges of their inspection of him.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if they even considered that kind of examination at that time. Now, excuse in your me, travels Donald? With all these tricksterish kinds of things, and is that a word? I don't know. We're making up words here. We like to do that. In your travels doing this kind of investigation, what, pray tell, have you seen that might indicate the cat and mouse aspect of phenomena like this?
Well, I don't know. Again, we are talking about contactee cases or encounter cases, which I had very, very few to investigate. But one of the ones that I did have featured a woman who fell in love with her alien, the head alien. They encountered, I guess, a number of these creatures over the years, but there was one in particular that she fell in love with, and she really loved him dearly, and especially loved his outfit that reminded her of an Elvis gold lame cape that this alien would wear, and she thought he looked great in it. I guess that might qualify, right?
That would qualify. Fell in love with an alien. You know, the men folk here, you know, we don't make it.
Yeah, once you go gray, you don't go back.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty strange. Give us another one.
This happened after I felt I had some weird kind of barely invisible entities come through my wall. I mean, this really the only time this has ever happened. I wasn't asleep. I was lying in bed in the dark, but was wide awake, and I distinctly felt something, a group of something kind of troop by me. And I just stood there, and I was really, or just lay there, and I was really trying to see them in the pitch dark in my bedroom. And I just couldn't really make anything out. But felt it was a very eerie presence. So I went to sleep and found out 2 weeks later that my neighbor claimed that these, and I had to track her down, and I had to have one of her friends convince her to talk to me, but she claimed that, as it turns out, the very same night, within about, I think, 30 minutes maybe, or 40 minutes, she had a group of these small diminutive aliens troop through into her bedroom, and she felt that they were trying to, I don't know, interact with her son, who was, I think, at that age, about 4 at that time. And he was a very special little boy. He was able to predict earthquakes. He'd wake up and say, "Mommy, earthshake today." And sure enough, there'd be a major earthquake. He did this on a number of occasions. She was the widow of Artie Lang, of all people. And she had never had an experience like this before. To my knowledge, never had one since. But she felt that they were going to do something with her little son. And so she banished them, and they wouldn't go. And she finally got mad and surrounded her son with light. And they seemed to become disinterested and left right through the wall. And she says as they went in the wall and you know, originally through the wall into her room, they seemed to be like water. They were transparent and ripply, like they were, I don't know, like they were composed of water.
It sounds to me like the Stargate, if you've ever watched the Stargate TV series or the single movie about the subject. The Stargate has this rippling blue water type effect as you go into
right.
the gate.
Right. You well, become immersed in the water. The beans look like water while they were coming out of the wall.
Okay, I won't say this story was all wet, but it strikes me as being weird, and it's something that we have to keep wondering about. What we have to wonder about is this book that Kevin Randall wrote called Reflections of a UFO Investigator, about his history in the field. And we'll also ask about the Roswell Dream Team. We've got Jim Moseley also joining us with Gene and Chris. Chris is no longer KK this week, by the way. Next week on the PowerCast, we'll have a special all-star episode where we will honor Lucius Farish, whom some regard as the Rock of Ufology. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You know, we develop trust in the people we know, but we don't really know someone we can see. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a simple online meeting service. It's GoToMeeting by Citrix. All it takes is a webcam and a click to instantly collaborate. You can start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life. Has the United States been discovered in the Bible?
Where does Islam fit in Bible prophecy?
Is the new world order world government?
These and other crucial end-time questions are answered in the new DVD package, Understanding the End Time, from End Time Ministries. Jesus Christ said, "I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe." After you watch this 14-lesson DVD series, Understanding the End Time, you'll know more about Bible prophecy than the average seminary graduate. This DVD package normally sells for $280. But now is only $199. Order Understanding the End Time DVD package at endtime.com today for only $199 or call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463. 1-800-363-8463 or endtime.com.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We've got Jim Mosley. We've got Kevin Randall with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast at our new time slot. I don't know if that makes a difference because I think a lot of our listeners hear it later on. They download the show, and our affiliates are not going to necessarily change the time. So it may not make a difference to you, so we'll just not mention it. So, Kevin, you wrote this book, Reflections of a UFO Investigator, And Chris was remarking before we got started, he didn't realize how young you were when you got sucked into this. So tell us about this. Where did you start?
In Colorado. To make it simple, and I've always said this, that my mother got me interested in UFOs because she had an interest in science fiction, which is about alien visitation, alien civilizations, and interstellar flight. And, of course, UFOs are about all those things as well, so it's not a huge step into it. And I remember she took me to a movie called Earth vs. the Flying Saucers back in 1956, which was one of the Ray Harryhausen. Thank you. I couldn't get that right. Extravaganzas with the flying saucers. So I was very interested in that.
Did you know, by the way, where they bought the rights, whose book they bought the rights for to make that movie?
Oh, it was Don Kehoe.
And yeah.
He was outraged at the way they treated the topic because it was an alien invasion, in essence. The one thing that I remember was, as I read this stuff, it always seemed that they were talking about indistinct blobs of light in the sky, which could be practically anything. And the question that I wanted answered, and I didn't really see it in any of the books that I'd read at the time, was if the objects were distinct, if they were clear. And one of my friends in high school told me that his mother had seen something when she lived in South Dakota. And so my first sort of investigation was to go to talk to her about what she had seen. And the question that I wanted answered more than anything else was it distinct? And I remember her telling me that it was a very distinct, sharply identified object, sharply defined object, hovering 200 or 300 feet over the barn. And that was the one question I wanted answered. And I couldn't tell you much about anything else about the sighting other than that, but that was the one thing I wanted to know. So that is kind of how I got involved in this whole thing.
Now let's take the trip from there to some of the cases or the stories that you've become famous or infamous for. Now, with regard to UFO abductions, where were you attracted to study that?
Not really attracted to study that, but Carl Lorenzen and the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization, a warehouse of UFO information, and I wanted to become a writer. And in talking with Carl Lorenzen, the deal was if I would mention the organization in the text of the article, you know, give their address, then that they would consider that payment, and then of course I could keep any fee that I generated through that. They had sent me the information about D'Anzio Yanka, who was an Argentine who claimed to have been abducted, which I think we all now know is a hoax. But I'd done the article about that, and a woman in Utah had sent a letter to Saga magazine discussing this and said that she knew about how these things happened and that how they abducted people. And, of course, I called Carl Lorenzen and said, you know, I've got this assignment to go out and talk to this woman from the magazine, because the letter came to me, but I know nothing about hypnosis or how to do that sort of thing, and I waited for her to find a hypnotist for me, and we ended up with Jim Harder and went out to Utah to talk to the woman and talk to her and some of the children who claimed to have been abducted. So at that point, I thought, you know, there's something to this, and I said in the article and I've said in other places that unless we find some psychological problem that could explain this, then this abduction is real. And, of course, I've since learned about sleep paralysis, and I'm convinced that this specific case in Utah was sleep paralysis. And so I got kind of sucked into abductions that way. So I did some work on the abductions because of that.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Jim, you can ask a question.
I wanted to ask Kevin, does he believe that some abductions, no matter how few, are truly unexplained except to believe that there's something paranormal or weird about them? In other words, are some of them real?
My feeling, Jim, and I'm going to get castigated for this, I'm sure.
Well, listen, this is the Paracast. That's our stock and trade. We get castigated all the time.
Oh, boy, do we.
Yeah.
My feeling is that the abduction phenomena has terrestrial explanations, that there is nothing extraterrestrial about it. And I look at this thing and I read the abduction accounts. You know, I've talked to Kathleen Martin, who is Betty Hill's niece, a number of times about this, and she agrees to me, at least to an extent, that some abductions are explainable as sleep paralysis. And we always try to make that clear that some abductions are explainable that way, but not all of them. And so there are other mechanisms operating there. But I just see nothing to suggest that there's an extraterrestrial component to it. If there is, then I would think abductions like Betty Hill or Travis Walton would be more likely to be the way the abduction scenario worked than this constant coming into the bedrooms and abducting the same people over and over again over a period of years and decades.
Well, do you think, what is your feeling about missing time, which is, I would think, a first cousin to abductions, because if the time is missing and the person has no memory of what happened during that time, we could imagine that perhaps he was abducted.
I think we'd take a look at those cases where they claim missing time. And I think the best example might be the Hill abduction, where they talk about it took them too long to get from where they began their trip to their home. But they kept stopping to look at the UFO, and they kept stopping to do these sorts of things. So they got home later than they expected to get home, but it may be that the time really wasn't missing. It was, they just didn't realize how much time was passing. Yeah, I like I said, I don't have all the explanations here, all the answers. There are some things about the abduction phenomenon that are interesting and intriguing, but my personal opinion at this point is that there's nothing extraterrestrially involved in it, which is not to say that something may not come up tomorrow or later this afternoon that would reverse that opinion. But looking at it from the research that I have done over X number of years, I just don't think there's really too much of an extraterrestrial nature or an extraterrestrial component involved in it.
I think, just my own opinion, at this point in time, you know, if anyone cares, I don't think there are interplanetary craft coming here, but I do absolutely think that something extremely peculiar is going on, and for want of any better explanation, I'll call it paranormal, which doesn't tell us anything, but it means it's something we certainly don't understand and something that is real. But I really don't see why we have to assume, just because it sounds like fun, that these things are coming physically from some faraway planet, and they find it so interesting that they come again and again. I don't think that's the answer.
We'll have more answers with Kevin Randall and with Jim Mosley, who, of course, has Saucer Smear. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Computers, servers, external hard drives, and even tape backups are vulnerable to failure. In the U.S. alone, over 140,000 hard drives fail each and every week. According to one study, only 7% of companies that lose their data centers for 10 days or more survive beyond the year. So I want to tell you about our friends at Mosey, the most trusted name in online backup. Give our friends at Mosey a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you could save 15% by using the promo code PODCAST15. That's PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776. Or visit MoseyPro.com. That's MozyPro.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients. Aids in controlling yeast infections. Is never freeze-dried. And uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com. Spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro EM1, the raw probiotic.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
I think this is the kind of show where Chris and I can be flies on the wall, and we just set Jim Moseley and Kevin Randall to talking, and they will proceed to keep us going. Now, Jim made a statement about what he thinks about UFO reality, which is maybe that we shouldn't be looking to other star systems, but consider a paranormal event of some kind. Kevin, what's your take on that?
I look at it this way. I think, based on what I've seen in my research, that we're dealing with interplanetary craft. But I don't say that in to exclude all over possibilities. I think that there may be some kind of a paranormal event that's involved. It may be something interdimensional. It may be something psychological. There may be other explanations involved. To me, the most likely is interstellar flight. But you know, if we get to evidence to suggest something else, I'm willing to go in that direction. I think one of the most fun explanations is it's time travelers from the future, but human time travelers from the future, I suppose I should say.
You think that is possible or that it's not? I didn't understand you.
I say it's one of the possibilities. If you look at the compendium of explanations, I think extraterrestrial is probably the most likely. But there are other explanations that could be the answer, and time travel is one of them, as is paranormal, as is interdimensional. I just think that if we look at it from the evidence that I've seen, I think extraterrestrial is the most likely of the explanations, but not exclusively.
I just find, out of all the possibilities, when you think of the distance involved and all the problems involved, I think to reach out literally that far and assume that should be or has to be or might be the answer is, I think, the more I think about it as I get older, and I definitely am getting older, but I really, of course, it's theoretically possible, as is anything, until you find out that it's impossible. But I do know why people start from there, because it's exciting and interesting, and everybody wants to know if there's life elsewhere in the universe, and I'm sure that there is, but it's a big jump from saying there is life elsewhere in the universe to saying that life is so interested in us that it appears here somewhere on Earth almost daily and continues to act in the peculiar way that it has been acting. I just don't see that as a realistic scenario.
if you look at the whole thing interstellarly, the distances are extremely vast. They're just huge. And our current technology doesn't allow us to traverse those distances easily. But that is not to say there may not be ways of doing it that we just haven't thought of or we haven't discovered yet. And one of the explanations I've always kind of liked to reduce the distances is if you put a dot at the top of a piece of paper and the dot at the bottom of the piece. I was going to say that it's a good thing that Jim is breathing because the conversation would be a whole lot different.
Mm.
But what I'm thinking is, you know, you put the dot at the top of a piece of paper and a dot at the bottom of the piece of paper, and it's separated by 11 inches. But if you fold the paper in half, the dots are touching. So the distance is irrelevant at that point. I don't know if there's a physical way to fold the universe that way so that we can make those leaps quickly and easily. If I knew the dynamics of interstellar flight, I'd be a lot richer than I am and a lot more famous. But there may be things that we don't understand that make it a lot simpler, and that would explain at least part of the UFO phenomena. Their ability to get here is not the Herculean task as we see it, but is something a little bit simpler.
Don't you think, though, that it is a fact that people prefer that belief almost in a religious way partly because in some cases, allegedly, these creatures have given us uplifting messages, but also just the concept itself that there are beings somewhat like us elsewhere, and they're coming here just about at the time that we are going to start trying to go there. I think that is so interesting and uplifting to a whole lot of people that they are going to just stick to that belief, even if it is unlikely.
And we have nothing to agree with. I have nothing to disagree with there. I think you're absolutely right that there are people who tenaciously hold on to the beliefs, and I think Frank Sullisberry, in one of his investigations, bore this out. He had talked to a woman who'd seen a flying saucer the day before and saw a cockpit window in it and saw the creatures behind it. And Sullisberry took her out the next day to the place where she had seen this thing, and she was pointing it, and there was another craft. And he noticed in the distance that there were some teenage boys launching hot air balloons. And he asked them, "Were you here yesterday?" And they said, "Yes." So clearly what she had seen was their hot air balloons that they were launching, their, you know, the laundry bags with the candles in it. And she, in her mind, I think it's Gestalt psychology, had created this image of the window and the creatures behind it. And she was not willing to believe. She said, "Yes, that's what I saw yesterday." And then when it was identified, she said, "Well, no, that's not what I saw." So you're absolutely right, Jim, that there are people who are going to hold tenaciously to their beliefs regardless of what the evidence is and regardless where it takes them. And you can't convince them otherwise.
It's wishful thinking, really. I know we'll be talking about Roswell eventually. I was very much intrigued by Roswell at the beginning, before, and we'll get to this, before all the stories involving dead bodies were eliminated. I mean, I thought, well, my God, they've got the bodies, people have seen them, and they look something like us, but not exactly. This very likely is something interplanetary. I don't know how many years ago that was, but the more I studied it and the more evidence of that sort fell apart, and the more I thought about it, I just, well, you know me at this point, I'm a mogul balloon man, which makes me unwelcome in many circles, but that's just the way I finally ended up about Roswell.
You know, Jim, I want to ask you more about that, because on your previous appearance on the show, you said that it was Kevin's book, Reflections of a UFO Investigator, that made you more convinced that was the theory. So maybe go into that right now.
More convinced of what?
That more convinced that it was a mogul balloon, Roswell. Explain just very briefly for Kevin's benefit why you came to that conclusion, and then we can have a little back and forth, okay?
Well, I was convinced before his book. The thing in there that I think you're talking about is this. I'm not going to be able to say this perfectly. But Brazel's daughter, Bessie, and I'll call her Bessie Brazel, although she has a married name, which I don't remember. But it's right in your book, Kevin, and it's elsewhere. I don't have it in front of me, but you know that she made a statement about pastel flower designs. Now, I know that you believe that she made a lot of mistakes in her testimony and that she changed it and so forth, and I'll grant you that, although I know nothing about the details. But however she changed it and whatever else went wrong, I want to know, where did she get the idea of pastel flowers? And my answer is from the Mogul balloons, because, as you know, Moore himself talked to me and many others and discussed the fact that for some reason these strips, which were indeed about 2 inches wide, had a design of pastel flowers. Now, let me just go on for another minute. If you're going to make up something to make a weather balloon or a spaceship or whatever more interesting and exciting, you might decide, well, let's add in hieroglyphics, because that is exciting and weird, and that could mean you're dealing with some kind of an alien race. Or you might add in a metal which is peculiar and can't be burned and can't be bent. I mean, that's interesting, too, and makes a big difference. But
you know, Jim, what's interesting is this break that we're going to do. We have Kevin Randall and Jim Mosley with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet debt when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Valentine's Day is this Tuesday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing last-minute deal. 2 dozen long-stem assertive roses, plus a free glass vase, a free soothing spa kit, and a free box of chocolates for just $39.99. Go to ProFlowers.com, look for the radio microphone in the upper right corner, and enter the secret code 7777. But hurry! Valentine's Day is this Tuesday. The price of roses will skyrocket the closer we get to Valentine's Day. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings and guaranteed Valentine's delivery. 2 dozen stunning long-stem assorted roses sent fresh from the fields, guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least a full 7 days for only $39.99. Plus, we'll include a free vase, free spa kit, and free chocolates. Remember, the price of roses can double, even triple near Valentine's Day. And this last-minute deal expires this Monday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to visit ProFlowers.com. Look for the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 7777.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Welcome to part four of the Flying in the Wall show with Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien. And we're talking to Jim Mosley, editor of Saucer Smear, Kevin Randall, UFO investigator, who has written a book called Reflections of a UFO Investigator. What else could it be? Jim, you were basically detailing your concerns about Roswell, and then we'll have Kevin's answer. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, you caught me just as I was reaching my point. So you might add in all kinds of interesting things, such as hieroglyphics or peculiar metal or many other things that I can't think of offhand. But where would you get such a strange and crazy, perhaps, idea of pastel flowers? They don't belong on a spaceship. They don't belong on a Mogul balloon, but it seems that they were on a Mogul balloon, and that is my point. I think that's a smoking gun.
Well, the problem is, as you mentioned earlier, is Bessie Brazel Schreiber was her last name. She has passed away. She said that the events that she remembered, picking up the parts of the balloon, did not take place in July of 1947, that her brother Bill was right. She was not at the ranch at the time. So,
well, where did she get the idea of these pastel flowers?
Let's say that she wasn't even there, then that point is irrelevant. But let's take a look at that. There has been, since the 1980s, the early 1980s, when there was a lot of discussion about the, as the discussions were beginning about the Roswell crash, one of the things that, I believe it was Jesse Marcel Sr., may have been Junior, but one of them had produced a sketch of some of the symbology that they had seen or remembered seeing on the craft, and some of them was these disjointed flowers. And so the information was out there in the public arena, which means she may or may not have seen that discussion before she began describing the pastel flowers as well. Jesse Marcel Jr. had said, not that the symbology was pastel in color, but it was purple instead, a deep purple. So we have a conflict in the descriptions of what the symbology looked like. So the information was out there in the public arena. She may have been contaminated. She may not have been contaminated by it. I think the important point, though, is that she was not present at the ranch when the debris was found.
But I don't even know if that matters. The point that I'm making and why I insist it's a smoking gun is that, as you say, there was talk by different people about something that looked a lot like pastel flowers, and I'm saying that isn't something that you would be likely to make up. And I'm saying that there were pastel flowers on a Mogul balloon, and that just sounds like one and one equals two. I really don't
see. If I wanted to be completely nasty about this thing, I'd point out that that there is no evidence that there were the flowers on the pastel flowers on the Mogul balloon. That is something that Charles Moore contributed to the discussion, and it's something.
Well, wouldn't he remember? I mean, again, why would he make it up? It's not something.
Well, let me ask you. But see, here we are. Well, we've got to. We say that Charles Moore would remember this stuff. But if I say somebody else remembered something, so, well, you know, the memories are 50 years old, 60 years old, so those don't really count. Well, what I'm attempting to say here is that no one has found a balloon with that pastel flowers on it. No one has been able to produce the tape. Nobody has been able to produce anything that shows that those balloons, carried that tape, or to be precise, the radar reflectors carried that tape. To be found. And the other thing is, there were no Mogul balloons being launched in New Mexico. Charles Moore has made it very, very clear they were not Mogul balloons. They were New York University balloons. So, what I'm saying is, of course, a matter of semantics rather than...
Because he is supposed to have never, and I don't believe this is correct, but he, I think, said that he always knew it as the New York balloon project or something very close to that, and that he had not heard the word Mogul at all until what was his name, Robert Todd, in something that he wrote, brought it up. He was the one that introduced the Mogul term. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but
we can demonstrate that Moore actually knew the term Mogul before that, because in a letter, I think it's dated 1960, maybe a little bit later than that, Dr. Crary was introducing Moore to James Van Allen. They were going to work on some project, and Crary was telling Van Allen who it was and mentioned that Moore had been working on the Mogul project. And Moore, of course, had a copy of that letter in his file. So Moore knew the name prior to Robert Todd telling him, and he clearly just forgot it.
Well, I think you're right about that. But, I mean, I don't want to repeat myself, but again, no matter how the details differ or if some details are incorrect, it seems amazing to me that Moore would talk about something as strange and unusual for any mechanical device to have as pastel flowers, and that others that saw the wreckage also mentioned in one form or another pastel flowers. It just is off the wall. It isn't something you would expect to see, and therefore it must be something that was there.
And as I said, we don't have a lot of witnesses that talk about the pastel flowers. You mentioned Bessie Braslin. She certainly mentioned those things. I think Loretta Proctor talked about pastel flowers, but she began talking about it in 1995. In an earlier testimony, she talked about symbols, but she didn't give a color and she didn't give it a description of what they look like. So I think there's some confabulation going on there, which is not to say that Loretta Proctor's testimony should be rejected. It's merely that, and I think when you get anything like this event, as people talk about it, they begin to add details to their descriptions that they did not necessarily observe themselves, but they heard about other people talking about. So you get some.
So you don't think there were any pastel flowers?
I'm ambivalent on the point. There is some testimony that suggests there was. There's testimony that suggests there wasn't. And one of the things we hope to do, and when I say I hope, the team of researchers that are working on the case now, is to resolve some of those questions. Can we pin this down one way or another and come to a resolution that would be acceptable to everybody?
Well, now that's what I was going to ask you next. I'm familiar with the Dream Team and...
Jim, let's back up on this. I want to basically acquaint our listeners to this. We did mention it briefly on previous episode and the session we had with you and also with Chris Rutkowski, who was on last week on the PowerCast. So let me put the question to Kevin in the segment. Okay, you set up something called, or worked with others setting up something called Roswell Dream Team. Can you explain the background of it, the reason for it, what you hope to accomplish, and also name the members?
Well, first of all, I think what we ought to point out is I think Tom Carey is the one that called it sort of a dream team of the researchers that he'd like to see looking at the case as deeply as he possibly could. And what Tom and I had done was invite various people who had some expertise in the case, David Rudiak, for example, because of his work on the Ramey memo. And if we can come to a consensus of what the Ramey memo says, the Ramey memo being this document that he's holding in those pictures taken on July 8th, 1947. So, I mean, it's, the providence is there. It's Ramey's holding the darn thing. If we can come to a point where we can resolve that memo better so that we can read it more easily. And if it says, as Dr. Rudiak suggests, that it says victims of the wreck and talks about the Roswell case, and that pretty well changes the content of the conversation. If we cannot resolve that, then we're left with the same ambiguous discussion that we've had in the past. So the team is made of people who have some expertise in the Roswell case, some people who have been researching it for a long time. We invited Chris Rutkowski on it as sort of our resident skeptic, and finding a skeptic to join the team was something of a delicate situation, because we didn't want someone who was so rabidly anti-Roswell that nothing that we produced would ever convince them that Roswell was extraterrestrial. We wanted someone with a good mind, and someone who would look at the evidence from a skeptical point of view and say, yeah, you guys didn't make the case here. You've got to do something more. So we've got Tom Carey working on the team. We've got Don Schmidt. We've got Chris Rutkowski, and we have Tony Bregaglia. Thank you, Jim. Working on the team, and what we're trying to do is look at it as sort of a cold case.
And I'll tell you what, we'll explore the implications of this Roswell dream. Jim, I got to do the break. We'll explore the implications of the Roswell dream team and looking at it as a cold case, and not like the former TV show. You're with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNlive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNlive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right. Every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNlive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.